Okay, we're going to look at some things this morning. It's called Lessons from the Sanctuary. Thank you so much. Lessons from the Sanctuary. And, there's just been a whole lot of conflict over it. And again, I'm not here to try to put up straw men and fight straw men. I'd like to devote this morning doing what God said that Sabbath, what the sanctuary is actually for. And I'd like to go through and lay a foundation for that before we get into that so you can understand what it's about. Because sometimes we take these things and we blow them so much out of proportion that we forget what it's about. And so here is God pleading, I want you to know my heart and my mind. I'm going to do anything I can to reveal that to you. And all the things that God has done to reveal himself. The sanctuary is the throbbing heart of God. And how many times do we just skip over it? Now, one of the things that we do is we exalt the power of the devil way out of proportion. Every time the devil came to assault Christ, how long did he contend with him? Swept him out. And the devil wants you to think that there is more power there than there is in Christ. And we do so much to exalt what he's done. But every time, I'm going to bare my soul this morning. I listened to some Sabbath school lessons. I didn't know I was going to teach this one until last night. And normally it takes me about 3 weeks to study for a lesson. I want to get in, I want to understand it, and I want to understand how it reveals the character of God. I don't take it lightly at all. So I was told last night, and I went there and said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And sometimes it's best when you are surprised. Because sometimes you walk on your knees more than you do before. And so, while I was doing it, my wife and I listened to some other Sabbath school lessons, and I just shook my head. And so when I got up, and I ran across a couple of statements that I'm going to share with you, no sooner than I got that insight, then a thought came into my heart, boy, those people are lucky to have you. How he could have taken that and exalt the efforts and the glory of man and get you so distracted. And I chuckled and I said, for crying out loud. He didn't want me to get to the heart of what this is. He wants somehow to get my eyes off of that and get my eyes on something else and try to... One of the best ways to do it, my wife keeps repeating about the law of... what do you call it? I know you repeat it and I memorize it.
I'm not sure which one.
Survival. Survival of the fittest. And that is that the devil will appeal to that all the time. And it's always keeping self-centered. And somehow focusing on my effort, my knowledge, my experience. It's just amazing what he does. And how easily it is that when you hold on to Christ, how you can sweep him aside, get behind me. What are you doing? I know where my strength comes from, but it's just amazing what he will do to distract us. Some of the things that he does is that God will present a truth. And we get so excited about that truth. And then we study it and say, well, this is how that truth is. And everybody needs to follow it just like it is. And any variation whatsoever, we look at that and say, no, this is how it is. Oh, no, it's like this. And pretty soon you got all this conflict, debate, going back. And what has the devil done again? Got us away from these central things. I'm going to read something to you that I ran across. And I don't like to read a lot in here, but I want you to understand fully where I'm coming from and what impressed me. I'm reading from Patriarchs and Prophets 364. Now listen carefully. I want to hear what you get out of this. This is a chapter on the law and the covenants. If man had kept the law of God as given to Adam after his fall, by the way, where is it recorded that Adam got the law? Where is it?
Doesn't say in the Bible. It doesn't come right out.
No, it doesn't come right out.
But it does say that God did teach them.
Absolutely.
Personally.
Taught them personally there, and then at the east end of the Garden of Eden, there's where they met him, and God taught them. He said, if man had kept the law of God as given to Adam after his fall, preserved by Noah and observed by Abraham, there would have been no necessity for the ordinance of circumcision. Now listen. And if the descendants of Abraham had kept the covenant of which circumcision was a sign, there would never have been seduced into idolatry, nor would it have been necessary for them to suffer a life of bondage in Egypt. They would have kept God's law in mind, and there would have been no necessity for it to be proclaimed from Sinai. So almost all of those things that God has given for us to look into His heart and into His mind, none of them would have been necessary. Have we understood and kept what God had revealed to us? But we let it go. And our minds became dark. And you've got to remember, even you were born with a heart hostile to God. And that's still a part of us. A heart that's hostile to God. God calls it a stiff neck. Your necks are so stiff. That is, it's just a rigid, hard person is resistant. So all of us are resistant to the knowledge of God, the will of God, all of us. And the only thing that will break that is the revelation of the love of God. Is the only thing that will break it. So, we have wiped away circumcision, we've wiped away ordinances, we've wiped away the speaking of the law on Sinai, and had the people practice the principles of the Ten Commandments, there would have been no need of the additional directions given to Moses. Now, what does that say to you? What are you hearing? How does this impress you? We're studying the sanctuary. Would that have been necessary? The law is a reflection of the character of God. Had we been dwelling upon it and seen it as the gift that it is, Now we can see why David says, on thy law I meditate day and night. And as I shared in here, there was a time that I read that. I said, David, either you're sick or you know something I don't know. I really didn't get a whole lot of excitement out of thinking, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make graven images. Thou shalt not this, 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 this. I didn't get anything out of it. But when I added some of the insights that God has given us through these story books, you're going to do that. You're going to be sitting down with that little grandchild with their very elementary little books and begin flipping through and trying to expose her to the love of God. Go ahead.
That first sentence that you read, I think, is the key to the entire statement.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the first sentence.
If man had kept the law of God,
what else?
As given to Adam.
As given that statement right there is the key to that whole thing.
Yeah, because look, did God sit down and say, Adam, thou shalt not have any other God before me? Adam, you shall not. It says, if they would have kept the principles of the law. And so when Jesus was here, he said, they questioned him, what is the law? Well, it's summarized in what? Two statements. And thy neighbor is thyself. Two principles. That's what Adam got at the east end of the Garden of Eden. That is the law of God. And had we dwelt upon that, all of these things that we had after that are nothing but stories, illustrations to little children with a little book. As you go through there, now this is what this means, and that's what that means. But every one of those points right to the heart and the mind of God. And the moment we lose sight of that, the devil grabs us and drags us into another field of conflict. Now I'm going to arm wrestle Ernie so I get to do next week's. Because I've already got 2 weeks invested in that thing. And so I'm going to follow through next Sabbath, because we begin with the concept of at-one-ment, the atonement. Well, what is he trying to get across with that? So, to set the stage, all of these things, if we just would have held that principle in mind of love to God and love to man, there would have been no necessity for any of these other things. And then goes on and says, the sacrificial system committed to Adam was also perverted by his descendants. Superstition, idolatry, cruelty, licentiousness corrupted the simple and significant service that God had appointed. Through long intercourse with idolaters, the people of Israel had mingled heathen customs with their worship. Therefore, God had to repeat them at Sinai with definite instructions concerning the sacrificial service. And so when there was such a detailed description of how to build this thing and how to offer sacrifices, what did they do? They took that as the requirement of God, and now I'm following along, doing everything just right. And Father, we're even going to take that and even make it more intricate. We're going to get it down to where we can define it so much where that wonderful statement that you shall delight to take time with me, they're going to get that down and they're going to write 1,000 different statements on that one alone, how to keep Sabbath. Amazing. And so here they've taken that all and perverted it. Thus the ceremonial law was given to Moses, written in a book, and the Ten Commandments given to Moses and written on stone, that people will never ever have a question as to what is sin, what does it do, what is the promise that God gives us of what He'll do. Now, I'd like to, any comments on this? I'd like to go to a couple more things. Turn to your Bibles in Micah 6:8. Somebody turn to that real quick. I don't want to take a whole lot of time. Good. Okay. Not good that you're confused. Good you have a question.
You know, the first words of what he said is, Adam kept the law.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, is it saying, or is he saying that the law was, you know, the Ten Commandments was already written? Because when you go back in Galatians and you read that the law came 430 years later, I'm confused.
Okay.
Which law
are
we talking about?
Okay.
I know this God has established that the law that was given to us was the law of love.
Mm-hmm. And our ten promises. Please add that.
Oh, okay. So, which law Paul is saying that came 430 years later?
Okay. So, what God did was He gave storybook form that He called shadows of what God was going to do. Those shadows were the sacrificial system, the sanctuary system, all of those laws of sacrifice. Those were shadows pointing to Christ. The Ten Commandment law is a reflection of the character of God. They are a statement of a promise from God of what you will become. Now, can you ever see that done away with? No. Could you see the shadows done away with? There's your answer. Why would you embrace a shadow when you can hold the substance? It was just a storybook to tell them what the cross of Christ meant. What is going on in the heart and mind of God? For instance, let me read these texts first, and then we'll go, because I want to give you an assignment when we get through here. Micah 6, verses 6 and 8. Somebody else turn to Jeremiah 9, 23 through 25. Who has that? I don't want to just leave it to... Okay. Jeremiah 9, don't read it yet. Which one do you have? Okay, you have Micah. Who has Jeremiah 9? Quick. Help me out. Everybody has a Bible, nobody wants to turn. Yeah, okay, you'll take 9, 23 through 25. Another one. Psalms 40, 5 and 6, and 17. Who has that? Do you have that one? 40, 5 and 6, and 17. Now, listen to these scriptures in light of what we just read in Patriarchs and Prophets. Okay, Micah 6, and speak loud enough so they can hear you in the back.
Micah 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Micah
chapter 6.
Oh, okay.
And verses 6 through 8.
With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearly calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams? In 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious
son? Shall I even kill my son?
The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?
Listen to this.
But to do justice, to to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Can it be any simpler? What is a sacrificial system? Does it provide anything? No. What does God require? And we'll look at the next one. And yes.
But just the last part of that takes me back to Eden.
Eden?
To Eden.
Yes.
To just to walk with God.
Yes.
In the cool of the day. That's what they did.
Yes.
That's where He taught them personally.
Yes.
And I think all the laws, these are principles to that He wants us to say, what does it mean? What does it stand for?
Yes.
But it's all about the principle of walking with me.
Yes, and that's the ultimate thing that God is after, is fellowship with you. Look at these next two passages and you'll see that. Jeremiah 9. Now don't let this stuff slip past you. Ask a question. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 25.
This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord.
Now, is that verse 25?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh.
Okay. So, I'm even going to punish all those who are circumcised in the flesh. Nobody could be any more in accordance with all of the requirements of God to allow someone to cut off a part for the whole, circumcision. And the circumcision was a illustration of what? I'm sorry?
The covenant.
Yeah, and what was it showing? What was the cutting off about?
I never could figure that one out.
Okay, somebody, what was the cutting off about? They didn't take the whole thing. They just took part for the whole thing. What was that about? Come on, help me out here. God has given us a storybook to help us understand His heart and what He's doing. He says, I'm going to take all those people that have followed all of the requirements and they're going to be destroyed. They followed it to the most nth degree and they're going to be destroyed. Why? Because circumcision was a symbol of a heart that is circumcised. That's what it's a symbol of. That I have surrendered my heart to Him. I don't have to die completely and all of my generation in the future die completely because I don't have one of those things anymore. He says, I just want to take part. It's also the symbol of baptism. That pastor holds you down just a few seconds too much and what's gone? He has my life in His hands, laid me in a watery grave, and then pulled me back up to newness of life. Did I tell you what I thought when I was baptized at 23 years old? I was so full of excitement. And when the pastor took me down, I just knew that when I broke through that water, the angel would sing and God would manifest Himself and all these wonderful things would happen. I got wet. I had all these expectations of what would happen. So, here is God saying, you're following all the rituals, even to the degree that you got circumcised. You're following all the daily sacrifices. You're paying all this money. You're doing all of these things and you're going to be destroyed. Why? Because you haven't allowed the truth of God to circumcise the heart, to help us understand what God is like. Now, the next one, Psalm 40, 5, 6, and 17.
Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.
Folks, if you would spend time with chapter 40 of Psalms, you will see it's a story of Jesus. As the sins were laid upon Him, and He cries out, He says, "My iniquities are so great I can't stand it." That's Jesus as a man. But in the middle of that psalm, God says, Aaron, put on the breastplate. And on the breastplate is inscribed the names of all the tribes. And a stone representing them. And lay it on your heart. And as you walk into that sanctuary, I want you to know that I'm carrying in my mind the remembrance of every human being that is represented under that. What this is saying is that God continually holds me. He says, "I meditate over you." And by the way, if you have a margin, you can look at that one passage where it says, "My ear you have opened." Well, that's the one that I mentioned last week where it says, "My ear you have taken to the doorpost and punched a hole in it and put a ring in it, a pierced ear." And everybody saw that and said, "Boy, you belong to someone and you really love that someone because you'll only do what his voice says." Jesus says, "You have pierced my ear, O Father. All I listen to is your voice." So we could all run out and get pierced ears and feel like we're doing God's will. Look at my earring. And all God was trying to say, and Jesus said, "A body you have prepared me." That's in Hebrew, but if you look in the margin, it says, "My ear you have pierced." So that everything in me will respond to your voice. It's beautiful. God is interested in you as a person and carries you with Him. He will sit down and meditate on you. Do you see why when you respond to something, it says that God begins to sing and celebrate? Clap, dance over you. Can you love a God like that? Incredible. So, let's open up that little storybook and look at what God is saying in His sanctuary, because here's my assignment I'm going to give you. I'm going to tell you now, you decide in your mind, and then you tell me who wants to do it. Who wants to choose each item? The sanctuary was laid out to tell the entire story of salvation. And what God is doing in a place that we can't see. And every article is to reveal something about the character of God. So what I'm going to ask a group from here to do is to choose one of those articles. as if you are going and walking through that sanctuary and kneeling before that thing and everything that happens to it, what does that say to me about the character of God? How many of you would be willing to do that for this next week? To take one of those articles and to look at that, meditate on it, study it for a week. One article. And then come back and just share with me in a very brief statement, what does that article mean to you? You raised your hand, and which one?
Don't be disappointed if I don't succeed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very fact that you want to do it. What part would you like to do? There's the altar out in the yard. There are even the coverings of the tent. There's the showbread, the table.
I guess the showbread.
Okay. James has the showbread. Anybody else want to join him on that one? Anybody else? Yeah, we're going to look at those, but I want you to have the opportunity, because what I'm going to show you to do is that you will find a feast just looking at that storybook and meditating on it. One item a day, one item a week, and just meditate on it and see what that tells you about God. We've got the showbread. Going once, going twice. Okay, yes, Steve. What one do you want? You're going to do the showbread. So you guys communicate a little bit about that, what you're going through. Yes. The altar of incense. Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you something about that this morning. This is incredible. Who will join with the altar of incense? You guys talk just a little bit about what you're going to do. We've got some other items. We've got the candlestick. Anybody? Which one do you want? Okay, candlesticks. Can you guys talk with him about that? Okay, what else do we have in there? What about the ark? You're going to do that one, the ark. And who wants to join Ross with that? Anybody else? Okay, you're going to go alone. We've got the altar out in the front part, in the courtyard. Who wants to take that? Anybody? Come on, folks, jump in there. Don't be afraid. Who wants to do that? Will you take that one? Okay. Okay. It's not going to be some great exhortation. You will find in Patriarchs and Prophets on the law and the offering a beautiful description of what that is. If you just do that. And then what I want you to experience is, as you meditate on it, God will cause your heart to burn. Folks, I got so excited about something this morning, I fell out of my chair. I fell on my knees and tears started coming down my eyes, on my cheeks, as I saw one of those things, and I was overwhelmed. The evidence that God is with you is not only what happens to your character, but as you behold His Word, your heart will burn. Your heart will burn within you. You wait and see. So these storybooks, we could go through the book of Leviticus, and we could take each one of those sacrifices. Each one is a storybook about what God will do. But I'm just giving you some things for... Yes.
It didn't do any good for them.
No.
They crucified what they all pointed to.
And what do you think caused that?
Well, they were stiff-necked. They were
okay.
Very humble. They were
yeah.
Special.
Absolutely. So here, this sacrifice was trying to teach them something about the character of God, and they missed the whole thing, saw the God crucified and ran home and had prayer for closing Sabbath. They were able to do all their work before the Sabbath was over, and they were so happy. Yes.
They missed the relationship.
There was no relationship.
They were focusing on doing instead of creating and understanding.
Yes. Yes.
And also, I think you mentioned it earlier today, is that when we allow anything to blindside us, Satan will put whatever in our path to block that view of Christ.
Yes.
Whatever distractions in our life, he'll throw something in our path that will blindside us and will take our eyes off of Christ.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what happened to them. It happened to us too.
We are no different than those stiff-necked people. That's right. Sometimes we look at that and say, oh, if I'd have been there, I would have understood. Yeah.
I think of it like if God told us He's going to meet us at a certain place, and it's going to be near the blue building on the 4th Street, then we get caught up in... what color is the building? How do you know it's that color?
Yeah.
You know, how did you get there? Did you drive? Did you do this? The most important thing is meeting with Him.
Meeting with God.
Not how you get there. You get
absolutely.
There. And we get caught up on, you didn't come the right way. You can't meet with God. The most important thing is meeting with Him.
Now, let me tell you something. God is going to take this church. Prepare for it. He is going to shake it violently. That if you are not in a friendship relationship with God, how this will impact you. Folks, I tell you, it's coming. And the thing that is shaking up is the spotlight is off all of those things and on to the character of God. That's how He's going to shake it up. Do you realize there are lots of voices that are being raised now? We went to a Baptist church last week. Beautiful experience. And you know what the first thing was that we saw as we were driving up this little country church? What, 10, 12 signs out front? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt... all the Ten Commandments were out there in front of the church on a sign. So when I went in there and gave them a sermon, and I said, did you know those were all promises? What, do you mind saying what his reaction was, the email that he gave? Yes.
And he said the whole day, just if nothing else but that, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And with that thought.
And did you read there where he says, now I see about all these denominational barriers that they are nothing?
Yeah.
Woohoo! they are nothing. And he says about Abraham, I didn't know that about him. And God is going to shake this church up. There are all kinds of voices that are talking about the knowledge of God, the character of God, and you should see the persecution from within the church. It's amazing. Now, if we, in just 1 minute, I wanted to take you on a tour through the sanctuary. But I will do some of that next time. If you just take the daily sacrificial system where a lamb was sacrificed in the morning and a lamb was sacrificed in the evening, just from that, what do you get? What goes through your mind as you hold that in mind?
Start the day with God and you end
I'm sorry.
Start the day with God.
That's extremely important. Anybody else? What does that mean? Here's the blood of a lamb that is destroyed. And they put the fat on the altar and the fat burns up. And then they partake of that lamb. What does that say? Every day. In the morning. Every evening. Behold the lamb. Behold the lamb. The altar of incense. You are in for such an excitement because whenever they offered that, I'm not going to say a word. I want you to find it. It's amazing what happens. And the presence of God demonstrated through that one thing. Each one of those things, I would love for each of you to just take that sanctuary. And by the way, did you know something? The sanctuary is about as big as it is from that wall to the middle of the next classroom. That's how long it was. It was about one more high plus a little bit. It was 18 feet high. And it was 18 feet wide. Is this about 18 feet? From here to there? It's very small. Laid in gold, and God said, when you walk in there, I want you to get the first glimpse of what heaven is like. Wow! Just incredible. I would love for you to be able to, as a class, just consider that and look at that this week. Next week, we're going to look at the at-one-ment, the atonement. And what that does. And then four lessons down, we're going to be looking at the Day of Atonement, which generally will cause most Adventists to shiver. We'll look at it from a different perspective. Father, I'm sorry. Yes.
The response that I've had in this study, and that was the desire of God to be with His people.
Yes.
In the middle of His people, in this sanctuary. That was His love to be with them as He was in the garden.
Yes, absolutely.
So that to me was the thing that showed the love of God toward these people, that He wanted to be in the center of their life.
Yeah. By the way, who made the suggestion to have a sanctuary? Huh? God did. Who made the suggestion to have the sacrifices? God did. Who is the one that pursued us? Who is the one that will not let us go till I find you? God does. Father in heaven, as you have passed before us, your will, your mind, your character, oh please, awaken us to the glory of who you are. And the fellowship that you want with us, we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.